What good must I do to gain eternal life? That's the question of the young man. He puts it to Jesus. What good must I do to gain eternal life? Sounds like a good question, even though he's still focusing on himself and what he's going to do, but at least his goal is eternal life. Before we reflect more on the story of the young man, let's learn from the first reading what we should not do if we want to enter into eternal life. Because the first reading is like the opposite of this young man who is seeking the way. In the first reading, what we are told is that the people of Israel repeatedly turned away from the way of the Lord. The very first verse of this passage is quite striking because it says the children of Israel offended the Lord, they abandoned the Lord, and they provoked the Lord. And then if you continue the reading, it's quite a stark description of how not to follow the Lord. Now this is our first selection from the book of Judges, so let's recall the context here. We'll be reading from this book of Judges, I think, for 4 or 5 days this week. This is the time after Exodus, after the time of Moses, the great leadership of Moses, and the successor of Moses was Joshua. Joshua is the one who led the people into the promised land, land flowing with milk and honey. And on Saturday, we heard the last passage about Joshua, and he died at the age of 110. So now the people of God are in the promised land, and they don't have a leader. They're in the land flowing with milk and honey. They're not in the wilderness. They're not in slavery. They have arrived. So now what do they do? Well, it turns out prosperity and ease leave people vulnerable to turning away from God. Even though they've been trained for 40 years to depend on God, when they actually arrive in the promised land, they don't depend on him. Maybe they think they don't need him anymore. They see the advantage of compromising with the local people and the local religions. And so they abandon the Lord and start following other gods. This reading tells us this happened again and again and again. It's quite striking to me that the scriptures are so brutally honest about the people of God. There's no glossing over, there's no blaming the Canaanites or blaming anybody else. It's their own fault. And even when it says it's the wrath of God flaring up against them, it's only because they're so disobedient and they need to be corrected. So this is the cycle, right? The people have a period of blessing, peace, prosperity. They fall away, and then because they fall away from the Lord, they are subject to oppression or some kind of suffering, usually from some other tribe or other pagan group, some pagan leader. So they're oppressed, they suffer. And once they're suffering, then they cry out to God, and God, because he's merciful, hears their cry, and he sends someone to take them up out of their suffering. That someone is the leaders we call the judges. Now, the term judges is always a little confusing because we know a judge is the one who sits in a courtroom and does takes care of legal cases. That's not the kind of judge at all these people are. These are local leaders, tribal leaders, kind of like chieftains, people with some special gift perhaps, or charismatic capability, also gifted by God, given a responsibility to help the people and fight against the oppressor. And that's God's mercy, that he keeps raising up these leaders to help his people. But the people themselves don't really change. Once they're no longer being oppressed, they fall right back into their idolatry and their disobedience. And that's the cycle, repeated cycle, that is captured in this reading. Now, so that sets the tone for the whole book of Judges. We won't read about all the judges. I think there's 13 judges. Maybe we'll read about Gideon. I think that's one. Gideon, I don't know, Abimelech, I can't remember the other ones. Samson, I don't remember who we'll read. We'll get to it in this. But that most of them we don't pay that much attention. The pattern is already well established. Okay, so that's how not to follow the Lord. And it's, I say, a rather stark and a brutally honest description of human nature. The children of Israel are not the only ones who tend to fall away. We all do. It's part of our sin condition. We are afflicted with concupiscence, which is a leaning toward sin. So why does God allow us to experience trials? So that we realize again we need to depend on the Lord. We realize the advantage of following the Lord. If we think we don't need the Lord, the tendency, that's not true of everybody, but the tendency of human nature is to forget the Lord. If we don't need him, why bother? Well, let's go back now to this young man who is a good man. He follows the commandments, and he's a rich man. But you can see as the conversation with Jesus goes on, he is too comfortable in his riches. He's too attached to his possessions. He's too focused on what he can accomplish himself. And he doesn't really depend on the Lord, and he doesn't really follow the Lord. What he does is he follows his own idea of what it means to be good. Now, that's not a terrible thing if that idea comes from God. But it's more and more coming from himself. When Jesus tells him, if I'll just follow the commandments, this young man says, which ones? That's definitely an indication of a measuring spirit. Which ones? I'm not going to follow all of them because some of them are not worth it, but I'll just follow the ones, the bare minimum. I'm doing pretty well, so I just need to maybe add one or two others and then I'll have it made. I'll be a success. I will have accomplished my goal. I'm going to do this, and I'm doing pretty well. And I have enough money, so just give me a clue and I'll finish the job. What's wrong with that? It's not dependence on God. It's not putting God first. It doesn't sound like following the Baals of the Canaanites, pagan gods, but it is following a false god, the god of his own self-will. What needs to happen when people are following false gods or stuck in their self-will or attached to their possessions? What needs to happen? What we heard about yesterday. Division. Fire. Something has to shake people out of their complacency, out of their self-centeredness, out of their sins. Something has to happen. And so when Jesus in yesterday's gospel says, I've come to set the earth on fire, you can see why, if you look at this first reading, why do these people have to be set on fire? Because they're going the wrong way. Why do they have to experience division? Because they have attachments that have to be stripped from them. The division isn't just division in families or division between in-laws or whatever. It's division from whatever keeps us from following the Lord. It's that sword of the word that divides us from what is blocking the way of salvation. Well, this fire, this division, which Jesus comes to bring, is now sharply applied to this young man. If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Implying you can't really follow me if you have all these attachments. You can't follow me if you're following your own will. You can't depend on me if you're depending on your money. There has to be a division. You have to cut off these elements of corruption, stains, tendencies. There has to be some kind of a purification here. So yesterday's gospel is a good preparation for today's gospel. Jesus is not being cruel to this young man. He's not against him. He's for him. He wants to save him. That's what Jesus wants when he brings fire. It's the fire of salvation, of love, of compassion. The fire that we see burning in the Sacred Heart of Jesus is burning with love for this young man. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. I want to save you from this trap you're in. In the moment, it doesn't work. That's why this gospel ends on a sad note. The man goes away sad. I think we'll pick up on this tomorrow, right? When they start asking about how can a rich man be sad? A rich man, he's supposed to be the happy one. Why is he sad? He's sad because he's not following the way that leads to happiness. That is the way of the Lord. Okay, useful instruction for us. We have to identify what is blocking our relationship with God and let it go. Let it go. Don't let possessions become a cause of sadness. Rather, let us find our joy in the Lord, in the will of God, in following God, in the way of love.